the August 5th and August 19th of 2013. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
I so move.
Second? Okay, it's been moved by Member Flint, seconded by Member Strand to approve the minutes from August 5th and August 19th. All those in favor?
There's some discussion.
Oh, is there a discussion?
Yes. I would like the minutes of 8:19 to reflect that Andy from ADOT affirmed when asked about the deferred maintenance and anticipated lack of federal funds that he agreed that that was the condition.
Mr. Hughes from DOT?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Okay, any other discussion? Okay. Note that change then, Kathy. Okay, all those in favor of the minutes is amended for both meetings, but on the 19th, the change that Member Loganakis wants to see put in there. So say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the minutes have been approved for August 5th and 18th. Is there any amendments for today's agenda, or do we have a motion for approval?
I'll move to approve the agenda as set out.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Member Hogue, seconded by Member Flint to approve today's meeting agenda. Any discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The meeting agenda for today is approved. And that brings us to public hearings and bid awards. There's a public hearing today on Ordinance 2013-13. Is there anybody in the audience or from the public that would like to comment on that ordinance? Seeing none, we move on to bid award for winter sand. And there's, take me a while here, there was a invitation to bid in the Petersburg pilot on the 25th of June and July 2nd of this, it says 2009, but to furnish 2,000 tons of 3/8 minus sand to Petersburg Public Works. Bids were received and opened on August 20th, 2013 at 1 p.m. Two bids were received. One was from Northwood Sand and Gravel of Petersburg for $29.50 a ton, and the other was from Ready Mix of Ketchikan for $42 a ton. Public Works Director Mr. Hagerman recommends that we award the bid to Northwood Sand and Gravel for the bid amount of $29.50 per ton, not to exceed $59,000. So I would entertain a motion to award the bid to Northwood Sand and Gravel.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Loganakis, seconded by Member Flint to award the bid to Northwood Sand and Gravel. Any discussion?
Who is Northwood Sand and Gravel?
I don't know. Carl, could you answer that?
Mr. Mayor, the business owner's name is Steve Nelson, and he operates at Thomas Bay as quite a few years now.
Okay, that's Ori Bell's old operation?
Yes.
Okay. Does that answer your question,
uh-huh.
Member Strand? Okay. Any more discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
John.
Yes.
Kurt.
Are you there, Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
And Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, that brings us to visitors' views related to the agenda. Any visitors' views related to the agenda? Seeing none, visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Any of those in the audience? Seeing none. The next one
okay.
would be good. And then we have board, commission, and committee reports. And we have Dave Kinsinger to talk about the ferry schedule. I'm really awake. I'm just.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to let everybody in the council and the community know that next Tuesday, September 10th, at 10 o'clock, DOT is going to have a teleconference soliciting comments on the proposed schedule for next summer. And just to give you a short synopsis of it, it's pretty much like we had this summer, except they just keep on cutting more and more months of service. So we really do not have summer service until July 1st. DOT, in their wisdom to try and save money that was cut by the legislature, decided to increase their shoreside cost budget and decrease their vessel budget. And the way they did that, and they had to do it by the end of the fiscal year, which is June 30th, so that's why the high-speed ferry doesn't start until July 1st, and that's why we do not have two vessels going out of Prince Rupert until July 1st. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's how DOT likes to deal with things. Repeatedly and over the last 5 years, we have asked for reasons why they will not continue to honor the agreement that they made with us 8 to 9 years ago, which was to have two vessels out of Prince Rupert from the 1st of May through the end of September. This council and the past, or this assembly and the past city council endorsed that proposal. We've gone to Juneau with it. Currently, there's going to be a big conference after Southeast Conference where we're going to talk about ferry schedules. Southeast Conference and the communities of Ketchikan, Wrangell, Sitka, Juneau, and Prince Rupert have all endorsed it. Everybody thinks it needs to be done, but unless we convince the governor or DOT that it needs to be done, it won't happen. So that's about all we can do, is to provide input, and to be quite honest with you, they're tired of hearing from me all the time. They're probably to the point where anytime I talk, they just say it's Dave again. So I think it's very important, particularly for the mayor, the city manager, any of the councilors that have an opportunity just to say that they don't like the schedule, that they would like to have a reason why we cannot have two vessels out of Prince Rupert from the May 1st to September, the end of September. It's a simple request. It's not that complicated. It's not that expensive in comparison to some of the other scheduling things that they've been doing the last few years. And it has the support of Southeast Conference, and the majority of the mainline communities are affected by it. It also has a big impact on CAKE as well. It halves the number of ferry sailings that they have in and out of CAKE. So it's important to everybody in the region to tie us all together. So from July 1st to mid-September, we'll have summer service from the Alaska Marine Highway, and rest of the year, we'll have a Sunday sailing out of Bellingham, a Tuesday, Wednesday morning sailing southbound, and then we'll have one Prince Rupert boat that will come north and south twice a week. And it doesn't work, and it doesn't help.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Hope? Mr. Mayor, I'd move that the Assembly direct the city manager to draft a letter to the appropriate people in DOT and to the governor and express our displeasure with this schedule and have it drafted for your signature if that's appropriate.
Okay, sounds good. And what are they and the other communities and Southeast Conference endorsing? You say they're all endorsing something. It's a proposal
to add it
from May 1st?
Right. You have the resolution in front of you, I believe, 2 meetings ago.
Okay.
And that was basically where we tried to get the different communities together to say, look, this is important. We need to do this. And they all pretty much endorse it. Everybody agrees that this is what we need. The problem is that a lot of things are changing in the ferry system that they don't have any control over. And the reason they've been able to do the schedules they've had the last few years is because the legislature and the governor have been willing to fund it at whatever level they have deemed necessary. And this has gone for about the last 9 years now. And so now we're finally reaching a point with the legislature where they're saying, okay, we have to cut money, and Marine Highway is a big target. It's over half the budget of DOT. So anytime you start going in and start cutting non-essential or non-programmed spending of the state, it's going to be a big target. So it's going to be, you know, there's rumors of all sorts of cuts coming from the legislature again this next session. So I don't expect the problem to get any better. And the only way that you can change anything with DOT is apply political pressure. And the governor is ultimately the decision maker in Marine Highways. He's the one that appoints the commissioner, the deputy commissioner. They're the ones that tell Marine Highways what to do and not to do. So that's where the political pressure needs to be brought to bear.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions of Dave?
Thanks. Right. Do you remember, Kathy, when we had a resolution before us, did we adopt that resolution? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So would that be adequate? Do you think? I can't remember how it was worded.
It was supporting exactly what Mr. Kissinger said, so Southeast Conference's resolution.
Mr. Mayor, maybe if I could interject, maybe the thing to do is send this letter directly to the governor. Because we haven't been getting any response at all from DOT. And, if we send it to Marine Highway System, they probably won't respond. So at least the governor will know that he gets it and he's aware of it. And I've referenced in the letter that this is an effort that Petersburg supports and the other communities in the Southeast right. support. And, I would definitely include that in the letter.
Try to remember to do something along those lines at Southeast Conference next week to make sure there's a letter drafted from them and the communities that are all endorsing this to send it straight to the governor's office as well.
That'd be a good idea. And there is going to be a conference where they're going to have a breakout session. I believe it's on Thursday right after the conference is over, the Transportation Committee, and they're going to be dealing specifically with this resolution. The
schedule.
And then also they're also trying to look at a broader scheduling format to see, what can be done or not done. The problem is the system needs to have the schedule out by October 1st. So they're probably realistically, but there's always next year. And with Marine Highway, you have to be in their cycle a year to year and a half out for them to really make any changes. So it's not a wasted effort.
So it doesn't hurt to keep beating on the drum. I agree. So what Mr. Hogue's suggesting is probably a letter to the governor's office and that would follow suit with our ordinance, our resolution we passed.
That's what we passed.
Oh, okay.
About it.
Yeah, that was just, that resolution is what Southeast Conference worked on in collaboration with the other communities that participated. Right.
Basically, it just asked for the service from the second ferry from Rupert to start May 1st.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And what they're proposing for next summer is to start July 1st and then September 15th.
Right. Okay, thanks.
If May isn't to Dave's point, I did meet with Andy Hughes when he was here. He was pretty straightforward about the whole ferry system from his perspective. He did not give me any confidence that he's working on that issue to make it better. His exact statement to me was, it's far cheaper and easier for someone to put their car on a barge than to run a ferry all the way to Prince Rupert or Bellingham. No. I'm just quoting what he said, and 70% of the ferry's fees are paid by the state rather than user fees, and then in turn, again, this is Mr. Hughes saying that the legislature or the governor, and he wasn't clear on where that's coming from, but has told them that in past their budget has allowed for, he called it a flat budget with inflation. They're being told this year flat budget, no inflation, which means they have to cut to meet that. So I don't think we're going to get anywhere with DOT based on what he had said to me. Again, I don't know what kind of authority he has, but if he's speaking the party line, DOT is pretty much saying we're not going to spend much time and money on the ferry system. So,
Dave, do you have another comment?
Yeah, there's a big disconnect between Andy Hughes and MHS. You think they would be working together, but they never have. He's in planning, which is a completely different division than AMHS, and his goal and what he's tried to do has usually run counterpurpose to what AMHS does, which is probably at the root of a lot of the problems. There hasn't been effective planning for the last 20 years, and we have a transportation plan that was started 9 years ago, and it still hasn't been completed or hasn't even been addressed because they don't have enough resources to do it. So for what that's worth.
Cindy?
Mr. Mayor, I was also going to say that draft transportation plan makes it pretty clear that they're trying to de-emphasize ferries and emphasize roads. But the other point that I was going to make is maybe if we do draft a letter that we should CC our senator too, so that they're aware of that issue.
Our representatives in the state.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we have all that? We're going to put in the letter down?
Mr. Mayor.
Any more discussion on the letter?
Just to point out the very basic fact, it is our highway out. It's the only one we have.
Yeah, we'd love it if we could have those, but we're not going to happen.
And Member highways Strand? In other parts of the state don't operate in the black either.
All right, so any more discussion on this letter we're going to send to the governor's office and our representatives? Will the clerk call the roll?
Can I have a second?
Oh, we need a second.
A second.
We didn't even have authority to discuss it.
Let us not get bogged in details. Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor of sending the letter to the governor's office to add the ferry in May from Rupert to the schedule?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. We'll do that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes. Do you want a roll call?
No. Assembly member Everlith would like me to call him back.
Sure.
Good luck.
We'll give it one try. We've got a lot on the agenda today, so we need to keep perking along. It is a work day.
Hopefully I don't. Kurt, I'm going to put you on hold. Hopefully I don't lose you.
Okay, I'll be standing by.
Hi, John.
Hi, Kathy. Sorry, I'm having trouble getting a reception.
Okay, hold on just a second. We'll bring in Kurt. Kurt, are you there?
Yes, I am.
John? John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we have everybody present. Just for the record, Mr. Hoag has joined us telephonically for the meeting.
Haverlick.
I mean, Hoag's here. I don't even recognize him. But okay, we're on item 9, John, just so you know. Consent agenda, there is none on today's agenda, so we'll move on to report of other officers. And there is none there either, so that brings us to the mayor's report. Before I go through what's listed on the agenda here, I'd like to add one thing. We need to try to figure out the schedule for the next meeting. I don't think we'll have a quorum for the 16th, as Member Logadakis and myself will be in Sitka attending Southeast Conference. Mr. Haverlick, you're going to be gone until the end of the month. John Haverlick, when do you get back to town, John?
I think cell service has lost.
John?
You must
still not having good reception.
No, must have lost him. Okay.
I'll be back October 5th.
Okay, thanks. So that answers that question. Kurt, when are you going to be back in town physically? Okay, thank you. So I guess we'll ask the members in the room today who will be here on the 23rd.
I won't be back till the 27th, if you
okay,
were wondering.
I
honestly don't know my schedule.
Okay.
I think I will be here that day.
So if Nancy won't be here and Cindy doesn't, we'd need a confirmation from one of the two.
I could try and call in, even if
30th?
I'm traveling.
We need four people present to have a quorum for the meeting. How about on the 30th?
I will not be present.
Okay.
Nancy and I'll be.
I'll be here.
Okay, and I'll be here.
Will you be
I'm
here?
Not sure.
Okay.
Well, we'll just leave that up in the air, and we'll notify everybody when we're going to have our next meeting. It's scheduled for the 16th, but I don't see that working.
Okay.
There'll be too many people out of town. Okay, appointment to vacancies.
When are you folks leaving the Southeast?
Pardon me? 16th. Mm-hmm. I actually leave the 15th.
Okay, so we could have one the 14th, maybe?
It's a Saturday?
Yeah.
When do you get back?
19th.
Anytime works for me.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. We had to meet on Mondays.
Well, that's, I think, what it says in the ordinance, unless it's a holiday or the charter or whatever document that is. But let's just move forward with the meeting. We'll schedule the next meeting. Okay, we have two letters of interest. Louis C. Fry would like to be appointed to the Planning Commission, and his letter is in the packet. So without any objection from the Assembly, I would like to appoint Louis Fry to the Planning Commission until the election of 2014, I believe is when that...
Is he a resident now?
I believe he is.
30 days.
Yeah. Okay. In his letter, he states he's going to be... Would you look into that, Kathy?
And if he is.
Okay, he is.
He wanted to run for office and he was short at that time.
Okay, now the name rings a bell. All right, does that answer your question, Nancy?
Mm-hmm.
So any objection, or should we appoint Louis C. Fry to the Planning Commission? Looks like there's no objection, so Louis C. Fry is now on the Planning Commission. And we have a letter from Tom Abbott, the Petersburg Medical Center Chair, and we have received a letter from Jeanette Ness, and she would like to fill the vacancy on the hospital board until October of 2014. So, if no objection, I would like to appoint Jeanette Ness to the hospital board. Seeing no objection, that's what we've done. Thank you guys for putting your name in. And next item is direction for Southeast Conference. Member Logadakis was going to be the only member going to the conference, but my schedule's open up so I can make it as well. So I'll be there. I'll get there a day early. I don't know when she leaves, but I get home.
I'm leaving on the 16th, and I'll get there the evening of the 16th.
Okay, so I'll be there a day ahead. All right, so I guess after looking at the agenda for the meeting, I don't think there's anything really earth-shattering, but I think one of us will be at the transportation meeting and convey our concerns about the Rupert Ferry. Then there's a work session. We've been invited to a work session in Wrangell on the 10th, which is in a week. There's nothing on the agenda yet, but that evening, Trey Atkinson from SEPA will be participating in their regular assembly meeting. I would like to see if we could get the Wrangell Assembly to agree to having a discussion with Trey Atkinson involved in that discussion at 2 in the afternoon when the work session is planned. And I sent a copy of the letter from Trey, which gives some very good ideas on how to, for SEPA, to basically take over the non-net billable and relieve the PERS debt to Thomas Bay Power Authority. And it sounds like some of the assembly members didn't receive that, but the ones that have read it think it's a good idea, and the city manager has reviewed it and he likes it. So, I don't know how the rest of the assembly feels, but I think if we could get them to do that at the 2 o'clock meeting, there's a chance we could probably travel over there either with breakaway charters or another charter business that could just take us from the end of the road and back. So I guess we could get a hold of their borough clerk, Kathy, and see if that's workable with them.
Suppose it's not.
Well, we could always participate telephonically. That's another option that they put in it. But myself, I like to have meetings like this face-to-face.
I think we should do this.
It's a pretty important subject for the two communities. And maybe, Kathy, could you make sure that all the assembly members have a copy of the letter that came to me from Trey?
Yep, and I have it, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a copy.
So, otherwise, I think if we stayed for the second meeting, which I think is a regular assembly meeting, I believe it starts at 6, maybe at 7, but I think we'd have to overnight, and which would be cheaper if we could just go over and back in one day. So is that the wish of the assembly to try to convey that message to the Wrangell Borough, that we'd like to have this discussion about Thomas Bay Power Authority at 2 o'clock? There's nothing on that agenda. Okay, let me struggle my way back through this thing. You got that, Kathy? All right. Okay, then the next item is the manager's evaluation. There's a we've all received that. Need to be turned in by the 5th is when the clerk would like to have them. And I, there's a schedule here. I guess we're looking for an assembly member that would like to be involved with going over all of the combined reports from department heads and other assembly members and the manager, and have a conference with the manager. And last year when we did that, it was pretty easy. Steve just said, use all of the evaluation forms, and that's my evaluation. So anybody interested in participating in that? And we have to come up with a date. First, let's see. Let me go over this real quick here. I did once before. I guess we're supposed to address the draft evaluation on the 16th, so we'll address it at our next meeting when we decide when that is. So between now and then, we have to go over the evaluations. It's scheduled here to be the 8th through the 11th, sometime late next week. Okay, anybody else? I mean,
I can. Wait, are you going to do this?
The mayor is involved in it, and one assembly member. So Cindy's expressed interest, if that's okay. That sits well with the rest of the assembly members? Okay.
I'll be gone.
Thanks, Cindy.
Sure.
Anything else we should cover on this topic, you think, Kathy?
That's it.
Okay, that brings us to the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Clawson Museum retaining wall and the site preparation project is complete. Thanks to Reed Brothers Construction. They did a great job up there. If you haven't looked at it, check it out. Pump Station 5 project is underway. You'll see Rockin' Road down there. The base for the new wet well has been done, and the base for the valve vault are all there. And they'll proceed on with that. Again, as a reminder, that's probably our most important lift station. That's what moves everything for the whole community up to the wastewater plant. So Carl and his crew are keeping a close eye on it. The borough has received the 70% plans for Pump Station 1 Force Main project. Those plans will be given to ADOT to become part of the South Nordic paving project. We would like to be able to do that prior to them paving, so that stuff that crosses the road or involves the road can be fixed when they do the paving. We scored very well in the preliminary scoring. That's important because if the legislature funds it at the same level they did in previous years, then we're eligible for grant funds. If that funding is cut, then based on where that we score and where the funding line is, becomes a loan rather than a grant. So this will be something that when we talk to our legislatures down the road, we'll keep a close eye on what they set that budget, what that grant budget line is going to be. The scrap metal removal contractor is at work, if not completed, done. That's what I thought. Rockin' Road has mobilized and is getting their piece of it done. Just a reminder, while we're working up there and while we're hauling dredge materials, the salvaging portion that we allow people to do up there is closed. We don't want people getting in the way of the heavy equipment. That includes the airport bypass road, waterline road, and the reservoir road past the landfill. All of that we need to keep people off of it to the best of our ability. Chris recently attended a walkthrough with the Forest Service on Blackery Point. If you haven't had a chance to look at that, everybody did a great job on that. I think there's some punch list items that are being finished up, and then the borough takes over maintenance of basically the outhouse and you know, keeping a close eye on it. So Parks and Rec, saw it in the newspaper, did a little project with the 4 and 5 year olds at Sandy Beach Park with Dave Nauman, kind of showing them how he was putting the shelter together. So thanks to everybody involved in that. It's a great way to show the history of how those kind of things were put together for folks. Gymnasium and weight room should be open today. I'm seeing nods, so it is open today. So congratulations, Donnie, and to your staff. That was a couple of really big projects. Donnie's also working with the Power and Light group in Public Works on the possibility of getting some increased utilities up to the cemetery. We've got to cost that out and see if we can afford to do it. This would help us with the greenhouse and some other things up there that not just benefit the cemetery, but benefit the whole community. September, we've got some folks from Parks and Rec traveling. Brad, Heidi, and will be going to Juneau to become certified pool operators. Donnie is presenting to the conference on as a special event organization, how you organize special events and his experiences with that. And then Hannah will be traveling to Washington to become certified as a lifeguard trainer. That allows us to not have to send lifeguards off-site to get them certified and trained. Public Library, I think the latest is Monday, September 16th. It will be open. The grand opening celebration is still scheduled and as planned on September 28th at 2 p.m. Senator Stedman, from what I understand, is planning on attending. Diane Kaplan, who is the CEO of the Rasmussen Foundation, and Linda Thibodeau, the Alaska State Librarian, have all RSVP'd and say they will be in attendance. In addition, the Tlingit dancers from CAIC are scheduled to perform. I think that's all still on the schedule. We've had four police officers have responded to our internal posting for a sergeant position. This is basically just is replacing the position that Heidi Agner held. Kelly's worked through a pretty extensive process of standardized testing, as well as he's got a written exercise, written test, an oral board, and presentation. It is expected the effective date for any promotion to be January 1st. Had a pretty busy summer. 175 calls just in a period from August 14th to the 26th for the police department. So it's been a busy group. And some very successful work over the last couple of weeks, in fact. The North Harbor demo, I'm sure you've all seen, is complete. The dredge, unfortunately, is delayed until appears the 9th of September. And are we still, we still think that schedule is going to work, Glo? Okay. So we're not going to, we hoped they were, going to start September 1st, it looks like it'll be the 9th before all of their equipment is here and ready to go. The new signage is complete at the fish cleaning stations, those that are left. Just as a reminder to the public, failure to follow those rules will result in citations, either by us or through the, MMFS officer. I've had a conversation with Jared and, encouraged him to help add to our expertise as far as keeping an eye on things. This isn't related to the sea lion and people feeding them. We've continued to hear reports of people purposely feeding the sea lion. So we need to, unfortunately, we may end up writing a few tickets for people to get the understanding that we're serious about this. Glo is encouraging people to call her directly when they see something. Waiting too long makes it a lot harder for us to do any kind of prosecution on that issue. Shelin has submitted all the required paperwork and reports that Alaska Housing Finance Corporation needs in preparation for the physical inspection of the manor, which is scheduled for September 18th. Bobby Ratliff has announced his retirement from Petersburg Municipal Power and Light, and his last day will be September 5th. So if you see him, give him a congratulations. He didn't want us to make a big deal about it, but he's been with us for a very long time and definitely deserves everybody's thanks. We do have a project coming up in the South Harbor for the replacement lights that we'll be doing bids on. It's 30-plus light poles to try to improve how they operate as well as what the lighting situation is in the South Harbor. Sandy will be traveling in September. The Metropolitan Medical Response System meeting and exercises in Haines on the 4th through the 8th of September. That cost is reimbursed by the group. The EMS Expo is 9/8 to 9/13, where she'll be taking the EMS Management and Instructor courses. This is important for a lot of the training that she does, so we can keep EMS folks certified here in town. Cost is roughly about $1,700, $1,650 on that. And the Behavioral Health Prevention grantee meeting from 9/16 to 9/20, where Sandy is one of the Super Coalition members. The grant pays for all expenses on that one as well. And then finally, I've been talking about it since I got here, which will be 2 years in another few days, which is the Scow Bay turnaround patent is in our hands. The borough officially has rights to that property as of we speak. It is signed, approved, and registered, or recorded. So that's it.
That was easy, huh?
Yeah. Interesting project.
Okay, now we're on to unfinished business. Item A is the Juneau appeal of the Petersburg Borough boundaries. That hearing is tomorrow afternoon in Juneau at 3 p.m. And our attorney, Jim Brennan, and myself will participate in that. Or he will speak for 20 minutes anyway. And then Juneau gets 20 minutes and the Boundary Commission gets 20 minutes. So it'll be interesting to see when we get the ruling from Judge Mendoza on that. Redistricting, there's no new news there. And now that brings us to ordinances for their third and final reading. And the first ordinance on its third and final reading is Ordinance 2013-11. It's providing for Chapter 3.18 of the Municipal Code entitled Finance Department. Updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and providing for the dissolution of the Finance Committee for the City of Petersburg. So, to entertain a motion to adopt that in its third and final reading.
So moved. Second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Flint to adopt Ordinance 2013-11 in its third and final reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Mark.
Yes.
Kirk.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
John Haverlip. John Haverlip. Cindy.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
And John Ho.
Yes.
Okay, it passes in its third and final reading, Ordinance 2013-11. That brings us to Ordinance 2013-12, an ordinance providing for Chapter 4.35 of the Municipal Code entitled Property Development Fund, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and designating that funds from the sale or for acquisition of state entitlement lands be deposited into or dispersed from the Property Development Fund. I would entertain a motion to adopt.
I'll move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Flint to adopt Ordinance 2013-12 in its third and final reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Ho.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
John Haverlip.
Okay, unanimously passes. And now we're on to ordinances for second reading. And that brings us to Ordinance 2013-13, an ordinance providing for Title I of the Municipal Code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. Entertain a motion to adopt 2013-13 in its second reading.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Flint, seconded by Member Strand to adopt Ordinance 2013-13 in its second reading. Any discussion?
There were a couple questions that I had on this one.
Okay.
Under the section 1.04.020, construction of words, that whole paragraph about gender is fine, except for it's very confusing. And I also had a question on under the next section definitions, item O. Instead of trying to define person, why not just say entity and leave it at that? Because that one seems a little tortured as well.
I have a question of the clerk. These have been reviewed. All of the ordinances are being reviewed by our legal counsel, aren't they?
Yes.
Are they helping change the language? Or?
In fact, this one was all prepared by legal counsel.
That okay. might explain it. I found that it was not very readable. and I would like to see it. I was just trying to go for clarity because I think some of the language is very convoluted.
Well, I guess we need a motion to change the wording then. To how would you like to see it worded? Let's start with O under definitions to pick one at a time.
My suggestion for that one would be to switch entity and person. Because it says person includes singular and plural, also means it includes any person, firm, corporation, company, association, partnership, or any other form of association, entity, or organization, which seems like... Go ahead. Maybe you can provide some clarity there.
No, I don't pretend to do that. Mr. Mayor, my comment was I would suggest that we table this for a week. I don't think there's any, or until the next meeting, I don't think there's a big rush. And let Member Lakadakis communicate through the city manager with the borough's attorney.
Okay.
Because when you start changing the definition sections, it may have a cascading effect elsewhere in the document.
And I'm not going to hold it up for that. It just didn't seem very clear to me. It seemed like in trying to make it clear, they made it more obscure.
Well, that's not the first time the lawyers have been accused of doing that. But seriously, if we're going to change this, I think we should not do it quickly,
okay. But
should go back to the attorneys and be worked over.
Makes sense to me. So would you like to make it a motion, Member Lagadakis, that we send this back to you and the manager?
We have a motion on the table.
It wasn't seconded.
It was to adopt it. I don't think we've had a motion to change. It was just Cindy was talking about the wording she wanted changed in these two places, one in the definitions and this other.
I mean, does it pose a problem for anybody else?
Kathy?
I was going to suggest, why don't you pass it in its second reading the way it is?
There you go.
Get clarification between now and the third reading.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Good suggestion. Okay, so any more discussion, I guess, on Ordinance 2013-13 in its second reading? Will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
John Haberlett.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
John Ho.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
And Cindy.
Yes.
Cindy.
Okay, it passed. Ordinance 2013-13 passes in its second reading, and we will send it to the attorneys to see if that language can be clarified. Or would you be willing to sit in on that discussion,
sure.
Cindy,
mm-hmm.
since you're the one with the concerns? Pushed the wrong button. I could lose the whole thing here. We're under item F, review of boards and committees. So at the last meeting, we decided we'd talk about all our boards and committees. And the first two today, one is the Utility Advisory Board, and the other one is the Motor Pool Advisory Board. Let's start with the Motor Pool Advisory Board. And Carl, you're the department head that's on that board. I'm the chair of that board. And if we all got the information from Mr. Hagerman, it might be on the agenda too in print. That personally, I don't see where this advisory board really needs to stay in existence. So, Carl, what's your take on it?
I agree. I think that the board does have some function, and it has been helpful over the years, but it just has been recently made a kind of a public board. It was an in-house committee in the past made up of department heads, and that worked well for the motor pool. Either way we go, it'll work for the motor pool. But it does seem like it's for one or two meetings a year, it's not really needed.
I think we would go over the same topics with the, what this board covers at our budget time when
yes.
we're agreeing on equipment to purchase or not, in my opinion. And I talked to the other person from the public who's on the committee, Ray Peterson, and his feeling was that it didn't really have to stay in existence. So that's just input from the other member. So any other assembly members have any ideas on it?
As I understand, Mr. Mayor, we do nothing, it goes out of existence, so there need not be a motion or anything unless somebody wants to continue this committee.
That would be the easy way to do it. Okay. Seeing no motion on the motor pool committee, we'll address the other advisory board on today's agenda, and that is the utility advisory board. I see they're numbered, so is this just a way to keep them in order, Kathy, or is that the number of the official number of the board?
No, that's an internal thing that's
okay.
still there.
Okay. Carl, would you like to, I read what you gave us, would you like to say anything to the assembly?
Mr. Mayor, it was just in filling out the form that Kathy had provided, it was a little eye-opening. Having been to a lot of these meetings or seen them canceled, didn't really understand the stats of, you know, how many had been canceled and or just occurred without really any action taken. And in the course of the last 2 years, 9 meetings being canceled due to lack of a quorum, 6 meetings that we held just for me and Joe to give a report to, you know, 3 or 4 board members without any action on the agenda. The need for the board doesn't seem to be very pressing, I guess.
Member Lockett-Ockes?
The only thing I can think of is, might there be any changes that come out of this discussion that we have with Rangel that the utility board might weigh in on? And that would be the only reason I could see to keep them.
I don't know. Joe or Carl, could you answer that?
Well, the function of an advisory board is to take items under consideration referred to them by the assembly. So it's up to the assembly if this body believes that there are issues that could be sent to the utility board for feedback or input, then there are. But if the body doesn't feel that there's a need to do that, if the issues that you're going to be taking under consideration are best kept at the assembly level, then there wouldn't be any need for the utility board input.
Mr. Mayor, if I may too, one of the things that, you know, like what Cindy's talking about, would be you could put an ad hoc committee
right.
together just to very narrowly, you know, talk about Thomas Bay and that. You might end up with more people being willing to serve on a shorter-term board that tackles one project rather than something that makes them have to work for a longer period of time.
And that makes sense to me. And when do we have till the end of the first year as a borough, Kathy, to get these in ordinance? So if there's people, in my opinion, if there's people from the public that feel stronger about this and didn't realize we were discussing it today, so they could come and talk to us about it and views related to the agenda, they could come at another meeting and if we don't take action on it, we could. You know, so there's still time for public comment. So if the assembly doesn't take any action on this, I guess we'll hear if there's concern from the public.
Are you there?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
John?
While she's doing that, could I ask?
John?
Can you flip-flop the next two items? It might be valuable for
okay,
me.
Okay, you're still with me. Okay,
about
hold on
the
a
structural
second.
Analysis before you do your capital project.
Uh-huh. All right, I'll see if I can get Kurt back.
It's a bit more information for you.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we could take a 5-minute break while we're waiting for people to get back on the line if we want to do that. And then they can just wait.
Well, this.
You can have my copy.
Thank you.
make structural analysis reporting on the municipal building item A under new business and then move capital projects to B, and that he's got some information for us. So I'll let the city manager give us an update on the report of the municipal building. Is that what you wanted to do,
yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Manager?
Yes, sir. To cut to the chase, it's relatively simple. The Reed Marine Warehouse will not work, and the municipal building as a possible remodel project could work. There's a lot of backup material. You're welcome to read through the engineer's report, which is in there. But to add some depth to that, I had a conversation with the architect. He feels that one of the reasons the problem in the police department building has occurred was that the mezzanine, which is the second floor of the police department building, was not built in a way to structurally support the building. So it added weight to the foundation that was not adequately done to begin with, which therefore caused settling. Interestingly enough, the walls were done properly, and all of the walls on all of these buildings are actually in really good shape, as well as the roof. So the concept would be you could literally gut the inside of the police station building, fix the foundations, and build it back again on the inside. Challenge is today's space requirements for all the rules that we've talked about before involve needing a lot more room, but we've got a lot more room. So the concept would be, could you structurally modify this building complex, meaning all of them, in a manner that meets the current building codes while we are all still working in it, and come up with a, when you're done, usable buildings that would fix, give the police department what they need, as well as the municipal employees from admin and finance as well, and the council chambers, would be everybody. So here's an example, and until the architect does this, you got to take this with a grain of salt. For example, we could move admin and finance upstairs into the old library space after some work was done. You could then do some work downstairs where we currently are, move the police station and jail into some semblance of downstairs, then go fix the rest of the building and add on the extra space the police department or jail needs. So it becomes kind of tricky, but potentially could be done. Meaning you'd end up with a police station and jail that would be basically all of downstairs and all of the other buildings from here over to meet their space needs. Admin and finance would be upstairs, and you end up with this entire building complex redone. Now, that's the theory. Don't know a cost yet. Can't do that until we actually do a design. And what the architect is suggesting is that I give him authority to bring to the assembly at a later date a quote to what it would cost to start that work, basically do the design work, to kind of do a little next step analysis of could we get everything to fit in this building, and would that kind of a shuffling approach work? We don't even know what that would cost yet, which is why I say we bring that back to you. But it would just be giving me asking, telling the architect, okay, go take the next step, which is looking specifically at this building, not any others. But I said earlier about bringing this back to the assembly every step of the way. And the reason it's important on the capital projects list is our number one project continues to be the police station and jail. And down the list a little ways, you see the municipal building rehab project with a number that, to be honest with you, is just nothing but a placeholder. We have no idea what that would cost. But concept would be to tell the architect, we're looking at now fixing all of this in a way that would fit the needs for everybody. But we would have to have him come back and tell us what that's going to cost first.
So the next step that you would like to see the assembly give you permission to do would be just to have him come up with a design?
Not even
or
that.
Or a cost that the design would
correct.
Cost.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. No spending money. Just tell him, okay, take the next step. The reason I come to you for that is because
you're almost obligating us, not completely, to using him to do the design, in the sense if you're going to start putting him through all of this. And I, you know, you need to know that.
Member Hogue?
The question I have is does his current contract doesn't cover that, correct? Or does it? Because the question then is, at what point should we be doing competitive bids? I do not like just starting down the road and contract after contract after contract with the same firm, because they get complacent at that point.
Yes. All right. This firm is MRV. They're the firm that designed the library. Assemblymember Hogue is correct. Does our current contract that the Assembly has approved with MRV, would it include this next step? Yeah, probably. But, you know, it's a question of how hard you want to look at this. I mean, the two main bidders on this project to do design work down the road was MRV and then Jensen Yorba-Lott, who'd done the building up. And so we'd probably end up back to talking to both of them if we go through the RFP process. That's up to the Assembly. I mean, we're within our rights to award it to MRV to take the next step and give us a proposal of cost. I'm just saying, to be fair to them, if they go to that kind of trouble, if you go to award that, when they give us a number, you're probably sticking, you're saying, okay, we're going to use them to do this project.
Well, are we or aren't we?
It sounded like we don't have to.
You don't have to bid it out, no. And you don't have to award it to them either. This is professional services. The Assembly has a lot of latitude on how that's done.
Are we allowed to give it to them without...
Yes.
And the next step? Are we allowed to give the next step to them without going to bid?
Any more discussion?
I agree with Steve. We are. Mm. The question is, should we?
Well, yeah.
Is there an added expense to have MRV take this next step to give us a...
No, not at this point.
Any other discussion from the Assembly? Would you, Mr. Hogue or
Mr. Flynn?
Flynn?
A couple points. One is, when our lobbyist was here in May, he said, this is our year to get more money for this project, because the second year of this session, everybody's running for election. And in order to get it, we should have a plan to Juneau in December. So we can't dilly-dally around here. The other thing is, I did talk to Wayne Jensen, a personal conversation recently. He thinks this idea is exciting because it solves both problems. We need a police station. We also need to do something with this old building. And, you know, so that's... He just wasn't sure there was enough square footage, 10,000 or whatever it is for the... No, that's way too low. Whatever it is that the jail needed or something. And so that's what this will figure out. Is there enough room in here to do it all? I think we better jump on it and do it. But as far as who's going to design it, that might be another issue.
I think Member Flynn is correct. Time is of the essence here. We do not want to be going to Juneau, sort of like we did last year with half a rabbit in the hat. And I think Steve did an admirable job of dealing with the cards he had dealt at that point. But we need to be better prepared. So I'm, for one, comfortable letting this firm do the next step. But I am very concerned about not putting something out for a competitive bid, although I got to say that going through that committee for what we did last time was not a pleasant experience.
Any more discussion on this item about the next step to see if the municipal building structure could be looked at? Member Strand?
I'm confused. The next step is already covered with this outfit. It's already paid for. So it's a no-brainer. They'd definitely win the request for a proposal, RFP, if their cost is zero. And
well, if I may,
yes,
it's the step beyond that that the money comes in.
Right.
What's going to happen is they would develop, and by the way, I left off kind of a small piece. There's a firm in Florida they see the kind of structural engineer guy that does police stations and jails that approached the former chief, Agner. He is contracting with MRV to help develop the, what they would call the program, meaning the space plan. So the next step is covered in the previous contract that you awarded, but I like being fair to architects and engineers and being very above board. If the assembly wants to, when it gets to that point where, okay, we now know it's possible, we want you to go design the building, and they're gonna, and it's gonna cost X amount, I wouldn't want to not tell MRV that there's a possibility that they would have to compete at that, when it comes to that next step. I mean, right now I can have him do this and it's not gonna cost us any money. But I want to tell him in advance is where I'm coming from. I think it's only fair.
Seems like a good approach to me.
Yep.
No more direction. I just wanted you to hear that prior to looking at the capital projects, because it has a bearing on this.
So, Member Wallhooter and Haverlick, have you been following this discussion?
I can try to answer this, Kurt. That's part of the problem, is until we tell them what we have to have in the building, they can't give us a cost. So literally, that's kind of the one of the next steps, is for them to sit down with Kelly and myself, and you know, that's probably the extent of it, but and say, okay, what do we need in this new building? And we've expanded it a little bit by including the admin and finance area. And then they, what their job is to try to figure out, will it fit? And we would be asking them to give us a quote on designing it. And in that design process is when they come up with the dollar amount. We can push to get a cost today, but when I tried that earlier, I got a very non-committal, we just don't know because we don't know what you want yet.
Which is only fair.
Does that answer your question, Kurt?
We got to sit down with Kelly and find out exactly what the square footage is that he does need and see if we can cram it in there or not.
Pretty much.
So that's basically what we're looking for, is the assembly to give the manager to move forward with that next step. So all those in favor of letting the manager proceed with that step, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes 7-0. So I guess you deal with MRV.
We'll take care of it.
And now we will do item A under new business, which is the capital projects list. I'll let the manager explain. I know we're a little ahead of schedule, but it's better to be ahead of schedule than like we have been a couple different times in the past where the session's almost starting and we're scrambling. So,
if I may, we got some recommendations from our Juno lobbyist that we should probably consider putting fewer projects on our list rather than more. That doesn't mean that we don't have them queued up and that they're not important. It's just that the way the legislature is viewing things these days, sending them 40 projects doesn't necessarily make us look good. So what I did in the attached form you have, which is a list of all of the projects that the department heads and others have given us, I left the priorities from last year right where they were, just deleted those projects that were funded or completed. There's one exception to that, which is if you'll see it on priority ranking number 7, which currently says electronic medical records. That used to be the C-arm and operating table items from the hospital, which is where the assembly put it last year. Liz Woodard from the hospital, and I'm assuming from her board as well, have said they would prefer the electronic medical records to take that space instead. It's a more critical need. So I've made that change, but I want to point out to you that you haven't blessed that at this point. Reality is, I think we should probably submit, you know, and again, the big rush right now is to get something that we can send to the governor Rarely do we get funding out of that, but Ray appreciate. He thinks it's important for us to send something forward. I would say the priority list, reality is, would be what we'd send to the governor, and it the in the order that you as a group decide it should be in. I'd try to keep it to 15. The other list we continue to put in our legislative book, and then we can see as we get closer and closer to session, we can get input from Ray on does he think we should send backup material on all of these items or just the top 15. But for the governor, purpose of the governor, I think it should be just this top list in the order that you guys think it should be. That's it.
Any input from Assembly? Mr. Hogue?
I would suggest that we combine, and if I can get back to it, this thing is working, numbers 1 and 17, and make that number 1, which would be the municipal building / police station jail facility, on the hope that this could be one project, because the police station is obviously critical. This building, though, is in sad need of modernization. You know, it's got different levels that aren't needed. It leaks, I'm sure it leaks heat, you know, like a sieve. I mean, this thing was probably built in the 60s, is just my guess, or late 50s, and it certainly needs some help. But anyway, that's my suggestion on that.
Number
I would bump the number 15, the columbarium, down to the lower wish list, and that would give us 15.
If you combine the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It would. Combine 1 and 17, which is the discussion right now, and move columbarium down to the additional capital projects needs list. And that is an important list to send to the legislature, because sometimes there's funding for projects on that list. You know, depending on what the rail belt gets funding for, we get our little pittance, and compared to that, so.
Well, and if I may, my assumption was Ray would tell us when right. We get closer to it, do we want to send all of these or not? But for the purpose of the governor, I kept thinking he really wanted a much smaller list.
I would incorporate Sue's suggestion, if that's, you know, and make that the motion is to do that, just that.
Well, if I may, we already have, I've got them numbered 1 to 17, but you'll notice 2 and 4 and 9 are already missing.
Okay, but I still would put that below, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Member Strand, you have a comment? Keep it organized, please. Sorry. So you have a comment?
Yeah, there's only 14 on this list with the 3 missing. So
that's, sorry.
That's better yet. And like the manager said, when we get closer to formalizing this list, our lobbyists can help us, and maybe by then MRV will have an idea, or maybe we'll have some kind of a design to know what the cost of doing the whole building will cost. I mean, what it will take to do, and we'll have a more accurate number instead of like last year we went up there and didn't know.
That didn't help.
And I probably have told you that one of my visits to Juneau this summer fishing, I went and spoke with the Representative Munoz, and it was very, she wants to help wherever she can, even though she's not our representative for, and she's on the finance committee, so even an election year, and maybe we could get some funding if we have a good idea for this project. So anyway, so that's what we want to do then, is add 17 to 1, and would we even have to move the columbarium offer here if there's only 14 already? I know it's important to some, like all the projects are.
I was going to say, I'm looking at some other projects on the lower list and wondering if those are more important.
Yeah. So this is basically, manager, just to get a list off to the governor's office, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that by October, generally?
Ray asked for it soon.
Okay. I would suggest that we finalize the upper 14 or whatever it is and get that off, and then we can adjust. Yes.
Has anybody else looked at this just yet this year?
Every department head, Liz Woodard, Rob Thomason, museum, and I think that's it.
Okay, thank you.
May I ask one question?
Sure, Cindy.
Because I don't recall hearing about it before, the auditorium failing floor system, how serious is that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, which one is that?
It's down under Petersburg School District, and it's $150,000 to repair the auditorium failing floor system. And that's the first I've heard of that.
Does the school has their top priority, or their ranking, right?
Correct. Yeah, this was sent to Rob in.
So, and I believe last year, Cindy, we asked them to put their list of items they were asking for funding for
in priority.
Prioritized.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So, but yeah.
Apparently, it's not failing fast.
No, I was just looking at comparative dollar amounts with Columbarium, and the auditorium is a public use facility, so.
I don't have more information on that. Okay,
so, does the assembly agree to the modifications on our capital projects list to send to the governor? Any more discussion? So, I guess the change would be add 17-1. The municipal building, police station, and jail facility would be combined. And we'll get more information on that cost as MRV moves forward, or after that if we go out to bid or design. Do we still want, I guess my question is, remove the columbarium if we still have less than 15 items on the top? Or just leave it?
No, I don't think we need to remove it.
Okay, it looks like we'll leave it. Just the one modification then. So, any more discussion? All those in favor of that change, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
None. So that was an aye affirmative, not opposed, right? I guess so. So it passes. We'll at least be had enough votes sitting in the room to send it off. Okay. That brings us, I believe.
Mr. Mayor, yes. One question, though. If the study that the architect does shows that there just isn't room in this building for the police station, then I think we have to go back to police number one. I mean, is that a given?
That would be my recommendation.
Okay. I guess we have time before the legislature.
And I'm sure we're not the only ones that change things in the process, but at least we'll have something to say.
Yeah, based on that design that was the committee, you know, and the architect worked up, I would think it would fit just fine, would be my guess. And certainly could be squoze if need to, but it just strikes me that it should fit.
Yeah, so.
Okay, that brings us to communications. Any communications? Seeing none. Assembly discussion items. Any recognitions today, Mr. Hogue?
I think my understanding is the police department deserves recognition and the members for their work on resolving a series of burglaries that have been going on in our community. And I think I understand it was a team effort and well done from the from all of us to the department, needs to be stated.
Good job, PPD.
Thank you, sir. I'll pass that on.
Okay. Any more recognitions?
Well, I had a tour of the new gym floors this morning, and they are shiny and beautiful, and the logo's impressive. So, thank you, Donnie.
That was nice. I looked at the photo, and that's great that they put the logo on there. I think it looks good.
Yes.
So,
which reminds everybody that 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock tonight, we'll be having coffee and hot cocoa and some cookies. So come up, enjoy the opportunity to come take a look at the floor. Also take a look at the work that the maintenance group did on our new fitness room as well. So both those things are going to be available tonight just for a nice little viewing.
And that starts at 6?
6 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. Any more recognitions? Seeing none, that brings us to item B, and that's maintenance of municipal facilities. So who wants to talk about that? Member Ho or Haverlick, did you want that added to the agenda?
Yeah, Mark, I wanted that added. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, you're coming in fine.
Okay, great. Yeah, my rationale was, and it follows this gym floor discussion very closely,
is that, you know, we have limited budgets, and we, like with the gym floor, was over $30,000, and we can't afford to do that in a couple of years again. I know it was about 20 cents the last time, but my concern is that I think any group, whether it's with the new fire department, the new library, the new gym floor, or any borough facility, if any group causes unnecessary damage, that group's activities, the department has not only the right but the obligation to cancel those activities immediately. Just because we can't, I don't feel we can afford to pay for unnecessary maintenance.
Okay, any more discussion on maintenance of municipal facilities? So what would you you propose, just to keep an eye on different user groups and then come up with a user fee for those groups depending on the wear and tear on the facility?
Well, I would like to put in the form of a motion that if any user group causes unnecessary wear or damage to a borough facility, that the department head has the obligation to cancel that activity.
Member Lagodakis has a comment.
I wonder if this would be an item to refer to the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee and to monitor the situation and see what they might suggest.
They would get some use out of the Parks and Rec Committee. That'd mm-hmm. be a good way to do it. Donnie, since you're the department head involved in this discussion, would you like, you have a comment?
Well, I guess my question for Councilman Haverlick is this discussion only about my facilities? Is it only about hockey? Is it only about that gym floor? Or are we talking about people that are tearing off park toilet paper rolls so they can use it to start fires? Are we talking about graffiti down at Eagles Roost Park? Are we talking about destroyed sidewalks that, you know, someone has bashed up? That would be my question. Is are we solely focused only on one specific group, or are we focused on borough wide?
Carl?
And I'd like to dovetail on Donnie's comments about damage caused to infrastructure. It only doesn't involve structures. Roads and sidewalks are expensive as well. It takes a long time to get them done right. The wrong type of ice melter will destroy a sidewalk just like that in the winter. Driving a dump truck over a sidewalk that isn't made for it cracks panels and requires a lot of maintenance. Driving excavators on asphalt gouges it up and starts a pothole. Something like that, it makes sense to me. I think as a municipality, I think we have the right, I guess, to go back on offending people that damage our infrastructure and request retribution for that. But it's not in writing anywhere. So it might be nice to have something like that that would address a couple of these situations. Just throw that out there. I didn't know where this discussion was going to go, but I did have that thought.
Number O?
I think we should make haste slowly on doing something like this. And John H., it strikes me that this is something between the city manager and the department heads can monitor on an as-need basis, that we don't need. And if we're going to develop a charging system, the implications of that and how you enforce it and how you deal with it, whether how you impose fines or fees or suspend people, can get rather dicey. So I would suggest that this matter gets tabled and monitored, and then John, you should sit down or bring to all of us your concerns in more detail, and then let the department heads analyze them carefully.
That kind of makes sense to me. I could see a whole new set of rules and regulations and fine structures
and the ability to deal with really easily.
And I can speak. I mean, Carl's dealing with one now where some damage was done to some roads, and we've gone back to the contractor to say, we expect you to pay to fix it. And you know, inevitably we'll figure out how that turns out. You know, to Donnie's point, and I can't speak for Assemblymember Haverlick, but we've got a brand new gym floor. We're all very proud of it. And I don't think it's any secret that there's been concern in the past by either myself, Donnie, other assembly members, about potential damage of roller skating on a gym floor. And whether or not that adds to the use on it and does damage, I guess we're going to find out. You know, I assure you, Donnie's going to be keeping a close eye on it. And if we start seeing damage to that floor, we're going to be fairly aggressive about saying stop until we can figure out a solution.
Just, if you don't mind, Mayor, with that in mind, we have tonight at the 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock meeting, we have expressly made a poster that talks about the rules and guidelines, expectations from user groups, what we expect as far as rollerblades, what we expect as far as tennis shoes. You know, no outside tennis shoes. Please don't bring mud and dirt in it. If you're going to use the facility, we expect you to, you know, dust mop it before use and after use. So we've kind of set some guidelines in place for, so hopefully we can move forward in this discussion that we can kind of minimize a lot of those problems. But it's something that, as a department, we're going to have to keep our eyes on continually.
Sounds like a good approach at this point.
I mean, if I could add, yes. I mean, at this point, the assembly has, in some ways, weighed in on the issue of skating in there, and you've said yes, and we have no intention of stopping that at this point. That's not to say that we're not going to keep a close eye on it, but just like we're keeping a close eye on anybody else who uses any of those facilities, you know, whether it's hockey, rollerblading, whatever. Or the weight room, and you know they're not being gentle with the new equipment. But you know, at this point, we don't have any intention of stopping any type of activity. We are though giving some rules that say please do this for us to try to keep this nice. We expect the floor to get used, and we expect that means it's going to have some scuffs in it, and it's going to happen. There's nothing much we can do about that. It's not a piece of art. It's, I mean, as much as we love it, it is a facility designed to be used. We're just going to have to keep a close eye on it.
Does that kind of address some of your concerns, Mr. Haverlick?
Well, it kind of goes around them. What I'm afraid is we're going to keep doing the same old thing of, you know, with sort of monitoring but not intervening. And I really feel strongly that, you know, we don't have an unlimited budget. And for the new library, like I said, the fire hall, the gym, you know, and the weight room, I mean, we put millions of dollars into these facilities, and it puts department heads in a politically awkward position of being able to act and react with the public. And I'd just like to see something stronger either in our ordinances or in some form to sort of give cover to the department heads to be able to say, hey, this is going to cost us money and we can't afford to do this. I have to cancel this activity by ordinance, or, you know, putting some teeth behind what they can do. In talking to the maintenance guys, they're saying that there's they're really worried about, you know, all these facilities and the floor and things like that, and they don't think they're going to hold up like the floor was done by a professional company that fitted for that does basketball for us, and that's what it's made for. It wasn't made for a universal gym. So that's my main concern, that it's going to cost us money down the road that we don't have and we shouldn't have to spend.
I mean, Assemblymember Haverlick's correct. Roller skating on that floor will cause wear on it more so than playing basketball will. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. But again, the assembly has previously said we're not going to stop skating on it. I mean, I'm not sure how to instruct Donnie in the sense of, you know, I can't have him count, you know, going against assembly wishes either. I mean, the community spoke, and pretty much we said we're going to allow skating in there. That being said, somebody who doesn't follow the rules, we're addressing. But, I mean, so it becomes a pretty difficult issue to legislate, if that's the right word.
Member Hogue?
Mr. Mayor, I have no problem with assembly sort of direction to the city manager and all the department heads that if some use of our facilities is wearing it down exponentially worse than would be normal, such as roller skating or hockey or anything else, that, and if the assembly said to go forward, they bring it back to us and said we need this changed.
Yeah, and that's generally how we would approach that.
I think that would be the correct report. I was just going to say the same thing. So I think at this point, Mr. Haverlick, we all share your concerns, but it is a public facility. It's a gym floor. I mean, it looks like a looks real nice right now, but no matter what you do on it, in 10 years, it's going to look like an old gym floor. So I guess if there's more direct concerns in the near future or distant future, that hopefully it'll be brought before the assembly. And if it's like last time we talked.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that concern out there.
Okay, all right, thanks. One more thing, since I know if under discussions, maybe we could go back and pencil in a date for our next meeting, since there is a couple of us that have prior engagements, but I think the earliest one is in 45 minutes. So hopefully we can hash this out in like 10 minutes. So Kurt, you won't be back till the end of the month, possibly. Member Strand, you're leaving. When do you leave?
Sunday. And I'll be back the 27th.
You leave on the 8th?
Yes.
Are you back in time of the 27th for a meeting in the evening?
I believe I get in at 6:15 a.m., anytime after 6:15. Preferably anytime after 9 a.m. I'll be available. I may not be too pleasant, but...
But you'll be here smiling.
I can fake it.
John, what...
I leave I think it's the 25th or 26th, to go chase Bullwinkle, and the odds of being back on the 27th are about zero.
Probably.
And the odds of being off the grid are 100%.
Yeah. I think I'm here then.
That's four, and Kurt could potentially be here if they close coho fishing on the 20th. They probably won't, in my opinion, but I'm not a fish and game biologist. But so we would have a quorum if Cindy's in town. So would it work for everybody to plan our next meeting at 7 p.m. on the 27th, the day before the grand opening of the library, 7 p.m.? And then if Cindy can't make it, we will...
And I can let you know within the next 24 hours.
Is it possible to do it at 5 p.m.? For everybody, or is that too early?
I'll be right in the middle of a big welding project, so if it was later in the evening so I could have time to go clean up, I wouldn't miss work.
Your buddy Bert will be here.
Yeah, that too. So if Cindy's going to be here that night, does that work for everybody? Okay, Kathy, I guess that's what we'll...
So Mark, was that the night of the 27th? I didn't quite get that. I'm getting about any other word here.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at, Kurt. I thought you might potentially even be home.
I hope so. I'm ready to be.
I bet you do. It'd be nice to see you back. Ever since we started talking about maintenance of municipal facilities, my phone's been buzzing in my pocket. I could hardly wait to see the messages. The next thing on the agenda is adjourn.
I so move.
So move.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.